Hello and welcome back to Project Upgrade. My name is Samantha.
And mine must be Lucas.
Is it?
Whoa, you're Samantha, I'm Lucas.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Unbelievable.
Anyway, so win of the week. Before we get into the episode, what was your win of the week?
Tackling this fast and hard, I like it. My win of the week, it's not the most exciting one, but for me it means a lot. I set my office up completely. I actually did that today just before recording this podcast episode. I went to Kmart, grabbed a few things. There were a few things that I used to hang on my wall back in our old place. We moved to this place a few months ago. And I've just never bought the hooks to hang on the wall. So I've got a bunch of these things kind of like sitting on the ground. Like my computer's set up, my desk is set up, but like the wall isn't set up. And it's always bothered me. Like it doesn't feel like a fully functioning office. And I had the goal today to set that up and to walk in there and feel like this is an office.
Yeah,
I get that. To other people, it's like, well, you're just hanging a few things up. But it gives me some good energy there now.
It makes sense. But like also, you work there. Like you want your workspace to be good.
That's right. I spend more time in my office than like most other rooms in the world. So, you know, I want that to feel as comfortable as possible and also as productive as possible. And I feel like setting that up how I have today really helps with that.
I like it. Well done. Fantastic. I also enjoyed the Kmart trip with you. So thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, I mean, you're walking to Kmart, even if you don't need anything, you're walking out with five things at least.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I did too.
That's what you did. You didn't plan to go to Kmart.
No.
You're walking out with all this other stuff.
But when you invited me, I was like, hell yeah, I'm going to Kmart.
I'm sure I could pick a few things up.
You know what? I need to go to Kmart.
Well, you always need to go to Kmart. All right. Well, that's enough about me and my office. Sam, what was your win of the week this week?
Mine was removing negative energies from my life. So if I found that something was bringing me negative energy, I would just simply remove it. So as little as if I found someone's Instagram stories would always, like, if the, it would give me negative energy by reading it or watching it.
You block them and report them.
No.
Oh, okay.
That's a bit dramatic, babe.
Okay.
I would just mute their stories so I don't have to see it.
Oh, that's far more reasonable.
Yeah, thank you. But yeah, just that kind of stuff. Or just like if, for example, like someone wanted to book in with me for posing, this sounds so weird, but I would find that if I had to fit them in and it would just make my day really long or like put me out of, like I had to go out of the way, that would put me in a negative energy. Mm-hmm. So I just wouldn't do it.
Gotcha.
So okay. Kind of setting boundaries. That's kind of what it is, setting boundaries, but removing like any negativity in my life.
I like that, taking care of yourself, putting yourself first.
Yeah.
I like that.
Felt good. Feel good.
Well, in the long run, that only helps, right? Because you avoid burnout and you don't overwhelm yourself by helping other people and doing things that aren't conducive with your goals.
Yeah, but then also I'm not in a negative mindset.
That's like right.
If someone's bringing negativity into my life, I'm not in that mindset.
That's right. And then your service to all your clients and just how you are around everyone else diminishes, right? Which you want to avoid.
Yeah.
So you're helping people out almost by removing the negative energies.
Pretty much.
Even if they're the negative energy.
Yes, in a weird way, I guess.
A little bit if you frame it that way.
But yeah, great wins of the week.
Cool. I like that. Yeah, sometimes the mental battles are as important as the physical battles that we go through.
Definitely.
I love that.
I also just feel like I want to be on top of my game all the time.
That's right.
So having anything negative in my life is just not serving me right now. So it's just go, bye, catch you later.
You got to do it.
Yeah, if it doesn't bring me quality, it's gone.
See you later.
Pretty much.
You are blocked.
Sounds pretty brutal, but that's the life I live now.
Yeah, I mean, you're not nasty about it.
No.
You just got your boundaries up.
Man. Yeah. Got to have boundaries. It's definitely healthy.
I like it.
But let's chat about today's episode, shall we?
Yes, absolutely. So today we are talking about fears and social pressures. Now this can be whether you're entering a bodybuilding show, whether you're getting into the gym, whether you're adopting the health and fitness lifestyle, anything revolving that.
Yes, and we were actually going to do a Q&A, but this popped up in the Q&A and we were like, actually, this is a whole nother episode, so let's do that first.
Yes, we don't want to just gloss over it because we feel like this has a lot of content to it.
Yes, so we'll do the Q&A next time.
Yes.
So if you have any questions that you want us to answer, please send it through. Mm-hmm. But yeah, let's get into it.
Absolutely.
So the number one thing that I find in this topic of fears and social pressures around bodybuilding is the fear of being judged.
Yes.
Yeah. To be honest, I didn't experience it. I know it sounds a bit funny, but I definitely did not experience it.
I'm actually with you. I didn't really experience that either when I started the gym.
I think this also sounds bad, but I feel like bodybuilding attracts certain types of people. Like people who are confident and people who like to be in front of the camera, for example, a little bit up themselves, I guess, about themselves, or like, you know, just some kind of trait in that area.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, there are some people who I admire for doing this, but they do it to get outside of their comfort zone, and I love that about those people. But I do feel like it's normally people who are like, I just want to get on stage because I think I can and I believe in myself and everything. Yeah. But I find that like the fear of being judged is more so, for example, from parents or from close friends or whoever it might be that you're thinking of right now. Like mine was definitely my parents at first. What about you?
Yeah, all my friends, like none of them really went through the bodybuilding route. Some of them dabbled in the gym here and there. And then when I told them I was doing a bodybuilding show, they were actually all for it, thankfully. When I told my parents about it, I don't know, I didn't really get much of like a response. I think they just don't understand that world at all. So they don't have an opinion because they don't know anyone that's done bodybuilding. They don't know, literally don't know anything about it. So when I told them I'm doing this bodybuilding contest, they didn't give me like positive or negative feedback on their thoughts there. So yeah, it was a bit neutral, I would say, for myself.
Mine was very, are you going to starve yourself?
Right.
That's the one that I got. Yeah.
Right, gotcha.
But now they're all for it. Now they love bodybuilding.
Well, like, when they actually see like what it actually is, when they come to the show, when they see you place well, when they realize, oh, okay, you're actually quite good at this. I support this.
They're up at 3 a.m. on the Instagram lives watching us overseas.
You're overseas, like, and you know they're watching the live stream. Absolutely. Yeah. But it's very normal for someone to get into even the gym, but definitely bodybuilding contests, and to tell friends and family, I'm going to enter a bodybuilding contest. And, you know, for people that don't often go to bodybuilding shows, it's very easy to picture what a bodybuilding contest looks like and the people associated with that. You think the jacked guy in the thong, like ripped and, you know, Mr. Olympia, right? And you're this 20-year-old kid telling your friends, I'm going to do a bodybuilding show. And it'd be very easy for them to think, who are you to do this? Like, why are you doing that? Like, that's not you.
Yeah.
It'd be very easy for them to kind of cast a little bit of judgment your way. But you've got to realize most people don't know the first thing about a bodybuilding show. You've got to really be in the space to understand it, to understand the categories. So you've almost got to push that to the side a little bit, back yourself. And if that's something you really want to do, go for it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you have a fear of being judged, you've got to figure out why.
Mm.
As in, like, you got to go through the inner work and kind of figure out, why am I actually worried about what they think? Like, for me with my parents, it was more so I was just not wanting to hear it. Like, it wasn't a fear. It was more just a, oh, like, I'm going to have to sit there and take it and, you know, try to explain it to them and, you know, not have them worry about it. But, like, it's your parents. Like, they're going to worry about you. So then on the other side of it, like, I couldn't be upset about it or mad about it because it only came from a place of care.
Yeah.
So if it's your partner that you're worried about being judged for or, like, frowned on, because I know that's a thing. Like, a lot of partners don't agree with it.
Mm.
I find that it's like an insecure thing.
Right.
Like, they're insecure that their partner's about to get the fittest they've ever been in their life.
They're going
to
look fantastic. They're going to look shredded and muscular, where obviously the other one's not doing the show.
Yes.
By comparison, they're not going to look as good, and they probably don't like that positioning in the relationship.
Yes.
I can understand that for sure. You know, how would you get around that if you're someone that's experiencing that?
As in the...
is if you're the future competitor and then if your partner airs some grievances with that?
Well, as we have said on this podcast, communication is the number one key when it comes to competing. Like, in any relationship, friendship, relationship with your parents, whatever, work, it's always the number one key. Like, if there's no communication, nothing happens and nothing is understood,
mm-hmm.
right? So I think if you are with a partner who may not potentially support it, communicate, have a chat to them, sit down with them and really list your reasons to why you want to do it, why it's important to you and how much it would mean to you for them to support you in your journey. If it comes back negatively, give them some time. They might come back around. Like, I know there's some times where it's like, you know, you're in the moment, it's just the heat of the moment.
Yeah.
You say some things you don't mean, then you come around and go, oh shit, like, I shouldn't have said that.
It also gives them time to talk to their friends as well and be like, oh, my partner wants to do this bodybuilding show. I don't know how I feel about it. And maybe their partner has gone through a bodybuilding show. Maybe their friends have experiences doing a show and their partner not doing a show. And then they offer a little bit of light to that situation. And then they have the time to realize it's not actually that bad. Yeah. Maybe it'd be pretty cool having a bodybuilder boyfriend.
Just give them some leniency. Give them some time to have those conversations and everything.
Yeah, I mean, especially if you care about your partner, if they air that they really want to do this, like it's important for them and, you know, I love bodybuilding in the gym. I want to challenge myself and see how far I can take this. It's a personal journey of mine that I want to explore. I don't think it's really right to stop someone from doing that. And, you know, if you are in that position, tell them that, you know, really express how important doing something like this is. And that goes to anyone, like, you know, friends and family, if they're trying to tell you not to do it, just really let them know that, you know, this is something I want to do and I'd love to have you support me.
Exactly. And the thing is, like, you want people in your corner who support you throughout a prep.
Oh, that's, it's fun. Like, it's really cool. Important. Hey, you know it better than anyone, right? You're on stage, yeah? And you walk out, you hear everyone going ballistic. Everyone's squealing and screaming. It's cool having a support network there. It's really, really cool.
Absolutely. But I don't want to be the person to say in the relationship, I'm not going to be that person, but, you know, it is very important to have people around you who support you in all areas that, you know, whatever you want to do in life and whatever you feel like is right for you, support is number one. So
what we're saying is do what you got to do.
No, because I don't want to be the reason people break up. No, I'm not that person. But, you know, support is number one. So
That's right. Yeah, it's very easy, especially for, say, friends that don't understand bodybuilding at all, to try to talk you out of it. And, you know, you've got to just back yourself, I find. Like, if this is something you really want to do, just kind of go into it with the mentality that no one's going to understand what I'm about to do. I don't expect them to understand it. So don't go into, like, these conversations expecting full support at the start.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's a bit narrow-minded there because, you know, imagine when you didn't know anything about the gym or bodybuilding. You know, you would have had no clue what to think when someone tells you, I'm going to do a bodybuilding show. So you've almost got to give them time. Like, my friends were the same. They didn't understand it. So they didn't, they were keen for me, I guess, but they didn't really, like, understand what the hell I was doing. It took one show. They all came. It was fantastic. And afterwards, they were, like, my biggest supporter of it because they saw me on stage. And they're like, oh, he followed through with this. Like, oh, he's up there doing his thing. Like, good on him. And they've supported me every single year. Yeah. And it's absolutely fantastic. So sometimes you do have to give these people a little bit of time. Wait for them to see the end result of what you're doing as well. Because sometimes at the start, it can be a bit hard to believe. Like, especially if you haven't done a show, if you haven't done a grow phase yet. Like, and if you tell people, like, I want to do a show next year. And if you're, like, ages away from stage condition, they might find it hard to believe. And that's maybe why they dismiss that idea of seeing you on a bodybuilding stage. Get to stage. Just push through. Get to stage. And then they'll realize, oh, this is what he wanted to do. Oh, that was actually really cool. Like, good on him for giving this a crack. And, you know, they'll be a supporter for you.
Which moves into the next list or topic that we had on our list, which is the fear of not accepting and supporting. So the fear of not being accepted or supported throughout the journey.
Yeah.
As Lucas just said, there's a difference between people being so closed-minded and so like, nah, don't do it. Why would you do that?
It's a waste of
like,
time.
Yeah, like, I just don't get it. Like, that, there's those people. And then there's people who are, I have no idea what you're doing, but go get it. Go kill it, whatever you're doing. You can't eat this? No worries. Don't eat it then. Yeah. Are you at the gym yet? Awesome. Go train. Like,
yeah.
You can't come to my birthday party? All good. I'll see you at Christmas. Like, you know, like there's different types of people when it comes to this. You know, and as Lucas said, there is going to be some time for massaging, you know, like, and just kind of teaching your friends and teaching your family, your partner, what the journey is. Because the other thing is, like, you're a first timer as well. You have no idea.
You're figuring it out.
You're figuring out just as much as they are, right? Like, you guys are going along the journey together. And I can tell you from experience, like, the first time is always going to be a little bit difficult with that. And you are going to have to use your communication skills. And you're going to have to teach them as you're learning, which is kind of cool when you think about it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
But the second and third time and fourth time and how many times you do it, they get it. They know.
That's right.
If you say you're in prep, they don't invite you to things anymore. And there's no, like, heartache about it either. It's just nope, they know I'm in prep.
They know you're going to say no to the event anyway.
Yeah.
But the first year, it's tricky because, like, your coach will tell you, like, you aren't to go out and have any drinks or you can't have fast food. Fair enough. You're in a bodybuilding prep. But, you know, your friends won't really understand that. They might think, oh, okay, you just have to eat a little bit less or, you know, you just have to, you know, not eat certain foods. Like, you can still come out and you can still do this and that. But it will take them a bit of time to realize the extent of what you're doing, like how strict it actually is.
Even just like your energy levels. Like,
yeah, you that's know, right.
When we get to those final like 8 weeks of prep, the last thing we're thinking about is going to an event. Like that is the last thing on our minds. Yeah. If we show up at an event at like around 8 weeks out, you mean a lot to us. Like yeah. you are like one of our besties, like number one people in our world. Like it's like we can't miss this. Like your friend's wedding, for example.
That the was past like 2 years, there's been two major events, a wedding and we had
engagement
the engagement party, like 2 weeks out for the last two preps. And they're two of my best mates in the whole world. I would never miss either of these two events. And that kind of proved it, right? 2 weeks out, kind of any of the drinks, kind of any of the nibblies that are going around. And it's torture because you're that hungry. And yeah, some things you can push forward with, but a lot of things, like you just get to the point, you're like, this is not even worth going to.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to eat any of the food. I'm not going to drink any of the drinks. Everyone's going to be on a different level to me as well. And once your energy levels start going down as well, you're like, I'm just not going to be fun to be around. I'm a little bit irritable. You know, I'm going to like set a bad mood to the crowd possibly. I might as well just not even go, just put my head down and just focus on what I need to focus on. And over time, my friends will understand.
Yeah, exactly. As I said, the first time you're going to have to communicate that and people, they're not going to understand and it's okay. But your second and third, they get it. So yeah. You just got to be patient for that time.
That's right.
So when it comes to the need to always look stage ready tip, topic.
Yeah, so this is for... What I find is sometimes when you've already done a show and like you come in very, very lean, I've definitely experienced this. I know a lot of other guys experience this as well. Even champions experience this. Maybe even more so champions because like you've set a standard and like people look up to you in a way. Especially if you come in very lean, it's almost like expected. And you put this expectation on yourself that you have to stay that lean, right? Like even in the off season, like you don't want to like put on a whole heap of weight. You want to always be that shredded guy or like that lean guy or girl. It's very important to like try to distance yourself from that a little bit and not have that be your whole identity. I don't know if you girls come into that thought that often, but I definitely know a lot of guys find that.
Personally, no.
Mm.
But from girls that I know, yes.
Gotcha.
I just personally haven't before.
Yeah, right. I think also because the first time I experienced this was when I won my pro card and I came in leaner than I ever had. And then after that show, I felt like I was just that shredded guy in everyone's mind. Because like that's how a lot of people knew me. I was like a new face to a lot of people because I just had this big achievement. My name was going around a little bit. And I felt guilty for having anything that would add body fat to me or like overeating or like going out to dinner with the boys. Like I would feel guilty because I'm like, no, I'm not going to be that lean guy anymore. And it takes its toll on you a little bit. Like you feel guilty for things you shouldn't feel guilty for, but then you also stifle your own progress by not diving headfirst into a gaining phase. So it's just something that I've experienced. So if you feel like you have this sort of identity, try to like distance yourself from that because like that's not your whole identity. Because like being lean isn't everything that I am. You know what I mean? And that wouldn't be the only thing that all these other people are. So try to distance yourself from anything that you feel could be negative towards yourself.
I think another way that you could look at it is, you know, the fear of blowing out too quick post-show. Like, that's a fear. Like, that's definitely something that a lot of people fear. Oh, it's a very
real fear too.
Yeah. So, I haven't really experienced it before, but I know in my first prep I questioned if I had blown out too quick because I didn't know. It was my first time. Looking back, definitely didn't. Like, it was fine. Like, it was actually a pretty good reverse. But in the moment I was like, is this normal? Should I be gaining this much weight this quickly? Should I be losing lines this quickly? Like it's a hard time, let's be honest. But I think being realistic around that time has really helped me never have that thought that you've had, which is I should be that lean guy year round, is accepting where you're at and knowing and living where you're at. So for example, post-show, I know I'm not going to be lean. I know I'm not going to be show day ready. That was a one day thing. That is like a one day, 10 minute thing. Yeah, like you peak for 10 minutes of the whole prep.
Yeah.
You will never look like that for the whole prep. That's the only time that you look like that. So then afterwards, it's more so looking for the next thing. So health, that's what I care about the most. I don't care about my, you know, skin folds or whatever. I care about my health, my overall well-being. And then once that's all ticked off, then it's okay, now I care about improving my next package. So if I do put on body fat, that's okay. That's what I have to do to get there. that's my next job.
I mean, that's a realistic approach though, right? Like that's really what it should be. It's very easy to kind of stray away from that, like the realistic approach, and just like kind of spiral mentally into thinking that you should stay what people are celebrating you for. I think would be a good way to wrap it up. You know, people are celebrating you because you came in so lean. You got this achievement. You're like, why do I want anything different to that? Like, why would I stray away from what got me all of this this attention? You know what I mean? It's very easy to think that way. But, you know, that's the realistic option you should kind of lean towards. What's the next step? You know, you're not going to stay shredded forever, right? You'll make no progress.
Exactly.
So you've got to realize, what phase am I about to go into? Okay, a gaining phase. What does that include? A little bit of body fat. And that's okay because that's the phase.
But then, like, focusing on what's important in that phase. You know, like, you spend so much time getting lean. You spend 20-plus weeks getting to the leanest point of your life. So then after the 20 weeks, you kind of go, oh, wait, like, I have to kind of reverse the way that I think. Like, I no longer want to see the scale weight going down. I want to see it going up. I no longer want to not be fitting my clothes. I want to be fitting my clothes, almost having to get it the next size up. Like,
you know, it's funny you say that, actually, because that was the reason why I wanted to stay lean. Like, I've spent so long achieving this lean look. Why would I throw this away? I've got to hold on to this, right? I worked my ass off to get to this state. And, you know, it in the reverse, it kind of works like that as well. Like, you feel like you busted your ass to get there. Why would I exit this so quickly? Yeah. So you want to stay there almost for as long as you can, but you quickly realize that's not the best course of action.
But when you, like, really think about it, how shit do you feel at that leanness?
Yeah, not the best. You're not thriving with energy. You're not lifting a heap of weight.
Right. Like, when do you feel your best?
I would say, honestly, like around now, like 3 months out from the finalization of my gaining phase.
Yeah.
In the gaining phase, for sure. I'm in the gaining phase for 2 or 3 months, I would say. I probably feel the best.
Yeah. You feel great, don't you?
Yeah. I'm fueled up all the time. I've put on some strength. I've definitely put some size on, and I haven't added the maximum amount of body fat in the gaining phase. So I'm sitting at a good spot.
You're training well. You're sleeping well.
Yeah, everything's healthy, great.
Like, you know, those are the things that are important. So yeah. It kind of goes back to our conversation last week, which was emotional than logical. You know, like when you are having a moment of being scared about putting on body fat, or, you know, not no longer being that shredded guy or girl.
Yeah, that's the emotional response.
It is. It's honestly purely emotional based. You've got to kind of take a step back and kind of be the eagle and like look at the whole situation and like look down and go, okay, that's emotional. What's the logical reason for this?
You know, there's one saying that I always love. Sometimes you're too close to the trees to see the forest.
Mm.
You're too zoomed in on the present moment. You got to zoom out, see the landscape of everything and realize, okay, that's my short-term goal here. And then this is my long-term goal. Now I can see it because I've zoomed out. I've always loved that quote. Sometimes you're too close to the trees to see the forest. Yeah. Love it. You got to zoom out to see everything.
You're not supposed to look stage lean year round. You're just not.
Yeah, especially if you need to grow. You know, it's just hard to balance the two.
I mean, it'd be nice. It'd be sick looking like that and feeling great, but it's just not a thing.
Yeah, it just doesn't happen. But that's the thing. Like, it's not black and white. It's not either you're shredded or you're fat. You know, there's a nice middle ground where you can be lean still, but putting on a good amount of muscle mass.
You know what, though? I get, like, towards the end of prep, I actually hate how I look. Like, I don't like how shredded I look, and I don't like how, like, I look sick.
Yeah, well, you definitely flatten out, which gives you that kind of, that sickly look where your muscles are flat. You don't have much body fat on you, but you don't have your muscles pushing against the skin, giving you that good look. On stage, you look great because you carved up, you get a pump, and then the muscles go the way that you want them to. But, like, 2 weeks out, you usually look pretty trash, and you want to.
Well, like, you walk outside and everyone just stares at you, and it's not for a good reason either. Like, they're looking at you like, you don't look well, which we don't. We don't look well. We look undernourished. We look shredded, but not, like, not stage day shredded. Like, it's just not a nice look.
Oh, I love it, though. I love looking disgusting. Veins going up everywhere and faces sucked in. I love that.
I actually don't. Oh,
girls, it's a bit different.
Hey, some girls love it, honestly. Yeah. Like, I can't talk for every girl. But for me personally, I love having some curves. I love having my off-season body. Like, that's just me personally.
Yeah. I think the best look is, I think, like, 2 or 3 weeks after show. Because you haven't put much body fat on, but you've had enough food to fill your muscles out. So you look full. You still have your cuts, your lines, your vascularity. You look bigger than what you were on stage, but you haven't put too much body fat on because all the extra food has just gone to glycogen replacement.
Day post show, we always look sick.
Oh, even more vascular. I'm like, why don't we peak like this, why don't we just like eat a whole heap of shit the night before? That's what we do after the show. Day of, just, yeah. I mean, I'm sure people have, right? I'm sure people have actually thought this. Like, I look better the day after the show. Why don't I just do what I did after the show the day before the show?
Surely.
Surely. And then they just get watery as fuck. Because, like, it's different. Like, you'll wake up and you'll go to the beach or whatever the day after the show and you'll look fucking awesome. But, like, that looks different on stage.
Yeah.
Like, it's a different look. You might think you look really sick, but on stage you don't want to look like that.
That was a massive tangent.
You know, if you've been watching this for a little, listen to this for a while, you realize Sam and I do go on these tangents.
Oh, so we do. Thanks for sticking along. Our 5-minute conversation turns into like a 3-hour conversation.
Turns into a whole podcast.
Honestly. Okay, another fear or social pressure is just one.
Yeah, big social pressure there. Now, what does that entail?
So I find, especially when I first started and my friends didn't really understand it, it was, just have one. Just one nugget won't hurt. Just one drink won't hurt. Oh, just come. Like, just come along. I'll show you. Surely one session missed isn't a bad thing.
Yeah. They try to justify branching off from your plan.
Mm.
Just a little bit. Like, they want you to have a little bit more balance between your prep life and the social life. And they do it because they want to have fun with you. You know what I mean? They're not trying to sabotage your prep or anything like that. They want you to be included in their activities. They want you to join in on the food and the drinks they're having. The one big one I always get is, why can't you just have a vodka soda? Right? That's low calorie, right? There's nothing in that. And, like, they don't realize, like, you obviously can't have that.
Would you like to explain why?
Well,
it's a very good topic to quickly talk about.
Well, I mean, there are calories in there to start with. And the second one is alcohol. Alcohol actually forces your body to put all of its resources into evacuating that alcohol out of your body. So essentially the fat burning process halts until this toxin is removed from your body, because your body views that almost as a virus, right? You put alcohol in your body and your body doesn't want that, right? Alcohol is not meant for your body. So especially when you're in a fat loss phase, your body is just trying to remove that alcohol as quick as it can. So the amount of fat that you could burn in that time is severely reduced because your body is only trying to get rid of the alcohol.
And that is why we do not drink while we're in prep.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you think you're helping us by giving us a low calorie alternative, but it's you know, you could take shots, right? You could offer us shots, right? There's no calories in that. There's no mixer. But it's not the fact of the calories. It's the fact that alcohol is poison to your body and we don't need that in prep.
Exactly. So yes, it's not just one. It's a lot. It's a lot to us. Even like a chicken nugget. It's not just one chicken nugget.
Yeah.
We're not having one chicken nugget.
Like, that's the thing, especially close to the show, like, our bodies are so volatile. Like, we've trained it to only have exactly 2,309 calories every day to perfection. If you stray away from that even a little bit, your body will see that, right? You'll see the changes in your body and it won't be positive changes. So we need to be as strict as we possibly can. So one nugget, you know, that'll throw us out. You know,
one lick of the spoon, like anything.
That's
like,
right.
No.
Like, and you've got to get to the point, because like we're being that precise that we're weighing like every single gram of everything. We're weighing our bloody sauce sometimes. So like having a nugget, it's a big deal. Like that will throw us out of whack. You know, extra 10, 20 grams of fat, boom. You know, that's major for someone in a bodybuilding competition.
Absolutely.
Especially when you're competing with the pros, you know, these guys are, they don't mess around. So if you're slipping up here and slipping up there, you know, that does affect how your end result is going to be. Even if you don't think it does, even if it doesn't look like it is, you know, these things do add up. And especially when you're comparing yourself against people that aren't doing that.
So then as an athlete, like a first timer who has their friends and family and whoever else saying, oh, just have one, one won't hurt. What would you do? What would your advice be?
Well, you've just got to stick strong to what you know, and you know that you can't have that, right? But I would, if you are going to something where there is eating and there's going to be food and they want to include you, you know, you can be included by bringing your own food, right? And that's what we've done in the past with events. We will bring our own food if we're hanging out with friends. So they feel like they're eating with you. Like the wedding that we went to, we were 2 weeks out. And of course, they're serving dinner. They're serving little snacks. You know, we're saying no to the little, you know, pork belly on the plate that's floating around the room. We're saying no to that, saying no to the drinks. But to feel included with the event, we brought our own dinner. We brought a meal prep container, Sam and I, and the chef, bless him, he heated the meal up for us and plated it on the same plate as everybody else. So when we all sat down at the table, we had a warm meal in front of us. Granted, it was our own meal, but we felt included. So no one felt the need to sort of pressure us to have any food because they felt like we were included. So that's definitely something you can do if you're in a social situation and your friends want to include you. Still go, still eat with them, but eat your own food. And that way you stay on track with your fitness goals and your friends also feel like you're included in the social activity.
Definitely.
Would you add anything to that?
I think just, you know, being really strong on your decision, like not being a pushover. You know, it's hard. Like it can definitely be hard. I know my first prep was hard or difficult to navigate with that.
Well, especially if you've got like 10 friends all saying, eat with us, eat with us, eat with us. Yeah. And if you're just one person, it can get overwhelming.
Yeah. And it honestly comes to the point where it's like, I actually don't need to go to these events.
Yeah.
I don't have to go. Or, you know, I don't have to go out. I can just stay home and that is okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, I definitely went through a point where I would feel bad for not going to just drinks with my friends. Like it would just be a random Friday night and they would just have drinks for the sake of having drinks. And I remember crying because I didn't go because I felt bad for not going. Really? But I decided to not go because I knew I wouldn't be fun. I knew I would just be like a moody bitch.
Yeah.
So that was really rough the first time going through that. But yep. I think, you know, setting your boundaries and saying no when you need to say no, that actually is a very strong mindset to have as an athlete. It doesn't make you a bad person or a bad friend.
Makes you a great athlete because you're sticking true to what you signed up for. And that's also something you've got to promise yourself at the start. You've got to realize, okay, I'm about to start this prep. The next 20 weeks, I have to say no to any temptations that come my way regarding foods or drinks. So if you promise yourself that at the start of prep, when that comes up, you'll just remind yourself, I promised myself I would turn these down. Right. So you owe it to yourself to keep that promise to you and not give in to these temptations, even if it's from friends and family. They mean it in a good way, but you've got to respect yourself enough and what you've signed up for to say, no, thank you, I'm good. And if they're good friends, they will understand.
Or another way to look at it is imagine standing on stage, right?
Yeah.
You're on show day and you don't get first place or you don't get the placing that you wanted. You don't get the top 10, whatever it might be.
Yep.
And you just have the thought of, oh, what if? What if I didn't have that night drinking? What if I didn't have those nuggets or that Macca's or whatever it is? That is the worst feeling. I've never experienced it myself.
Yeah.
But when I hear it from other people, I just think I would never want to put myself in that position.
That's right. Exactly.
I want to be on stage thinking I have given it my all. I have ticked every single box. No matter what happens today, I am so proud of what I bring.
That's right. Because then it's out of your hands. You've done literally everything. You can't be upset or mad because it's like, I actually couldn't have done any more. I was bang on. But, you know, you could have a world of regret and feel like you wasted your time if you kind of messed around in prep. I know a few guys that have done that. And, it wouldn't be a nice feeling. So, you know, just do it hard and just do it fast. You know, just commit 20 weeks, even if you feel uncomfortable, even if you want to break, you know, you'll thank yourself in the end. And I don't know about you, but every single prep, I get to a point, it might be like 4 or 3 weeks out when things are really hard. And I think I'll be on the Stairmaster or some shit. And I'm like, why the fuck am I putting myself through this?
Every time.
You start like second guessing yourself. You're like, am I mad? Why am I like choosing to do this? No one's making me do this 30 minutes of Stairmaster in the morning. Why am I doing this? Like, I don't have to do this. And I do this every single prep. And by the time you get to stage, no matter the result, but just the experience of being on stage, and especially if you win, you're like, oh, this is why I do it. It's all worth it. Right. And you figure that out every single time. And it is every single time you're on prep, no matter how bad the prep is, it's always worth it in the end. So just do it hard because there's sunshine on the other side.
And the thing is, you know, whatever it is that you're missing out on, the drinks, the food, whatever, it's always going to be there afterwards. Like, it doesn't mean that you're missing out forever. You can still go and have cocktails with the girls after the 20 weeks.
Just you think your friends are only having drinks in that 20-week period?
No. Like, that's the thing, like, you know, with the wedding. Like, that's a once-in-a-lifetime thing that you can experience. So we decided to go to that because it was like, we can't miss that. But if it's just cocktails with the girls for the sake of having cocktails with the girls, you do not need to go to that.
Yeah. And a lot of the time, like, you can go to these things, have fun, and not drink.
Absolutely.
Like, trust me, I would have loved to have a few drinks with my friends at the wedding, but we still had a great time. It was amazing to see him get married and everything else. But, you know, you don't have to. You know, you can just attend. And, you know, if you love your friends, you should have a fun time without the drinks.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Now, the last thing that we wanted to chat about is friends changing or relationships changing in your
life.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's the thing. Like, you get a little bit selfish in prep because you have to. And especially if your friends, like, they're not for that. They don't really understand it. You know, maybe you end up developing a different friend group. I know that happens. You start becoming more friendly with other bodybuilders, people that are in the fitness world a little bit more. And it depends. Like, my friends, they're rock solid. You know, they don't go to gym. They don't compete or anything like that. But we've never strayed away. And I feel like it hasn't put any pressure on our friend group. But I've also developed more friends in the fitness world as well. Have you experienced anything negative with keeping friends in that world?
Yeah, I definitely have, like, half of my friends I'm still friends with. The other half I don't speak to anymore.
Is that because they didn't approve your bodybuilding? They just didn't understand you? They didn't have much in common with you anymore?
To be fair, like, I never had anyone not support it. Right, yeah. Like, they all supported
it. No one shot it down.
No, like, never. That never happened. However, when I decided to keep doing it, that's when it really showed my true friends. Mm-hmm. Because, like, the second time I went back into prep, everyone was kind of like, oh, you're doing it again? Oh, like, we're doing this again? Like, we have to do this all again? Like, that's kind of where the true colors were shown. Because I think it was more so, like, they thought it was, like, a one and done. Like, oh, just Sam doing her one and done thing, whatever. And then the second time came through, and that's where true colors were really shown.
You can laugh at them now, right? They're like, hey, good thing I backed myself when you didn't back me.
Yeah. They never not supported me. Like, they definitely did support me, but I think it just kind of showed that I was changing. I was changing as a person, and so were they, and yeah. We just didn't align anymore, and that's okay. So we went our separate ways.
Yeah.
That's all it was. Yeah. And I think that's honestly all it comes down to, guys. Like, it's not a malicious thing. It's not a, well, sometimes it is, but most of the time it's not. It's just, you're simply changing, you're evolving. They're changing and evolving in their own way.
Yep.
That doesn't mean you guys have to get along still. You know, you're going on different paths. You're going to meet all these incredible people who are very like-minded to you and that are on the same journey as you. Like, how cool.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, you might want to keep those friends, but also if they're going on a different path that doesn't align with you, it's okay to let them go and support them from afar.
Absolutely.
Which is what I do. Like, I still support those people. Like, I have nothing against them. I support them from wherever they are,
yep.
You know, but it's just, we're not in contact anymore and that's okay.
Fair play. Sometimes you just lose things in common with people. You know, like, if you're busy doing bodybuilding and fitness and they have no interest in any of that and they're just doing something completely different. So, like, sometimes you just don't even have, like, the opportunity to, like, catch up. Like, you're never around the same areas or, like, you don't have that much to talk about anymore, you know, because, you know, your fitness friends, like, you might see them at the gym 5 days a week, you know, and, like, you're just gravitating towards this new group of people. And so be open to it, you know. And like you said, most of the time it's not a malicious thing. You just kind of drift in your different directions.
Yeah. And this is the thing, like, when you do drift in different directions, it's usually not even intentional. But how awkward is it when you decide to catch up with that person that you've drifted from and there is actually nothing to talk about? Like, it's awkward. It's not fun. You know, it's really, really awkward. And then you end up never talking again because you both realize how different you are.
Yeah.
So, like, if you feel as though you're on a different path to someone, you just feel it in your gut kind of thing, just stick with it. Just go different ways. Don't think anything bad of it. Don't be nasty about it. Just accept it.
Yeah. And just be super open to making these new connections in the fitness world. Like, most of the people that I talk to, like, a few times a week, they're new friends of a few years ago.
My best friends all compete.
There you go. You make so many friends with bodybuilding competitions, and obviously I'm a personal trainer at a gym. Mm. There's just so many people I see around the gym that are now, like, really good mates. And I just met them in the gym and we have so much in common. And, you know, you're just naturally going to make those friends and you're going to love them because they have so much in common with you and they actually understand your bodybuilding journey for once.
Exactly. Like, the competing world isn't a, oh, I can't be friends with them, I'm versing them. It's not like that at all.
Opposite,
it's like, I actually need people who compete in my life, otherwise no one gets it.
Yeah. And then you become a better bodybuilder as a result. You train with them. They train a different way. You start learning a few things. You start talking about their past experiences and competitions. And you really just mesh because you're both on this same journey. You can learn a bit, you know, through each other.
Yeah, definitely. Is there any other social pressures or fears that come to mind?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose the obvious social pressure of, you know, other people looking better than you. Yeah. I feel like that is one that's always going to be around. Even people at the top of the game, you know, in reality, someone always looks better than you. It's just a fact. You know, anyone in your gym, someone looks better than them. And they know that. So, you know, this probably applies as well, more so to people that are just starting out in the gym and people that compare themselves to other people. I know that I see a lot of new people come into the gym, especially have at the start of this year, and they're afraid to leave the comfort zone and go down to the main gym. You know, just dive in head first. The reality is no one actually cares what level you're at. No one's comparing themselves to you. Like, no one's like belittling you because of the experience that you have or the size that you currently are. Like, no one cares about that as much as you do.
Yeah.
So I just want to remind people, try not to compare yourself to other people, as cliche as that sounds. You know, they've probably been in the gym many years longer than you. I just don't want that to be a reason that you stop bodybuilding or even stop posting photos or videos and like just getting in your head thinking, why would I post this? Why would anyone care about this? Chuck it out there. There might be someone that's thinking of getting into the gym and they're inspired that you've actually given it a crack and they like seeing the first steps that you take. So I would definitely encourage people just to get amongst it a little bit and just stop worrying what other people think of you and the start of your journey.
And remember, your chapter one is not someone else's chapter five.
Yeah, I mean, we've all been where you are right now.
Yeah, exactly. We all had a chapter one, but don't compare it. Like, comparing is the devil.
Yeah.
When it comes to this sport, unfortunately.
Absolutely.
Just stay in your lane, enjoy the ride, and just do the best that you can.
Use that as motivation, not fear, I find. You know, if you see something bigger than you, great.
Amazing.
Strive to look like them. Strive to make the progress they've made. Don't get fearful because you don't look like them and you can't train near them because that'll be embarrassing. Just be like, hell yeah, if I stay at this, I might look like that one day and someone might look at me in the same way. You know, there's a different way you can look at it. Look at it for motivational purposes, I find.
Actually, one social pressure that just popped in, just from what you were saying then, is not getting into what everyone thinks you're going to do, as in like the placing and everything.
Okay.
So I definitely experienced it, which is the, oh, you're going to win. And then like kind of gives you pressure. Like you have this like crazy pressure that you have to win now.
Yeah.
And like you don't let other people down. Do not let that pressure get the better of you, because the pressure of you thinking that you have to win is only pressure you're putting on yourself.
Yeah.
Like anyone can say anything, you're going to lose, you're going to win. If you decide to take that on, that's your choice. If you decide to put the pressure on yourself, that is your own choice.
Yeah.
It's literally just you versus you. It does not matter what happens on the day. If you win, amazing. If you lose, amazing. You know, it's still, it doesn't take away with how hard you worked.
Yeah. And most of the time people that say, you're going to win this bodybuilding show, they don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
It's also like, no end of the day and you have no idea who's going to show up.
Like, they're saying that with no knowledge of any other competitor, what the judges even look for, what category you're even in. Most of the time they just know you're doing a bodybuilding show and that you look good. You know, compared to the rest of the gym. And they're trying to be nice, you know.
But like even other coaches and other athletes who actually do know the sport and they look at you and go, well, you're going to win this show. Do not take that on. Take it with a grain of salt, because it's nowhere near show day.
Yeah.
Number one, you don't know who's going to show up or how they're going to show up. It's too far to tell.
Yeah.
Even if it is the week of the show, who knows what's going to happen? You could fuck up your peak week. Sorry for swearing. But, you know, it's the reality.
Yep.
Just because someone says that you're going to win does not mean you're going to win. And it doesn't mean that you should have the pressure that you need to win.
Yeah. I mean, you should really never have any of that pressure, because, you know, you can't ever take any of that on board, because none of it is like grounded in facts. Like, you are never going to win a show. Like, you could look like you're going to win a show until the day before and you blow out. Maybe you have too many carbs. Maybe you have a terrible sleep and you hold water in the morning. And then you come fourth because you're watery and the top three guys are shredded. Like, you literally can never tell someone you're going to win this show. You can only tell them that when they're already on stage. But even then, you can't even really tell them. Sometimes you can say, you're probably going to win the show based on my opinion and what I'm seeing at the moment of you and all the other competitors. But anything that's before show day, of you on stage, you can't take anything on board.
No.
There should be no pressures whatsoever.
You just got to focus on bringing your best, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes that can be so negative, the pressures involved with that. You know, if someone tells you you're going to win the show, like, you could also start coasting into that show as well. Be like, I've got this in the bag. I don't need to worry about nothing.
You don't want to be in that mentality.
You don't want to be in that mentality as well. But then you also don't want to stress yourself the hell out by being like, I have to win. 50 people said I'm going to win.
Yeah.
I don't want to let them down. You know, which is so real as well. And you will experience that. People want to be nice to you and people want to support you. And they're going to say, you got this, man. You know.
Thank you, feel, random person.
That that's I've right.
Spoken to before.
Who's never been to a bodybuilding show. Thanks. I've got to perform for you. I won't let you down.
It happens. It happens.
Yeah, it happens. But after a few shows, honestly, you screw your head on. Like, you know what the expectations are. But just chill the hell out. Just enjoy the journey.
Absolutely. Well, we should probably wrap up this episode, though. Just
wrap it up, put a bow on top.
We could keep talking, but we should wrap this up.
Yeah, I'm sure everyone's sick of us by now. Until next week.
All right, guys. If you did enjoy this episode, please don't hesitate to share it on your story. I am at @_SamanthaWeeks on Instagram.
And I am at @CoachLucas. And if you have any topics that you would like Sam and I to cover, DM either of us. We'll be happy to mention the question, or even just make a whole episode around it. We'll even give you a shout out if you suggest it. So drop us a message, and we'd love to include your thoughts in our later podcasts.
But we do have a Q&A coming out next week, so make sure you submit your questions if you haven't already.
Absolutely.
Woo! Okay. Well, catch you later, guys.
All right, catch ya.
Bye.
Bye.